I want to begin again as we've been doing by addressing the children. So this will be the children's message. So whether you're watching live now or later on, good morning. Good to be with you. And for any children that we have here, this is for you. So let me have your attention for just a moment. Today is a day we're celebrating. You can stay in your seats. Good. All right. We'll just do it from here. Today is a day that we're celebrating. We're celebrating the Lord's Day. It's Sunday, after all. But we're also celebrating another holiday in the church, thus the fancy stole and the white adorning the altar area. Yesterday, you probably celebrated some version of Halloween, although in Auburn, because there was a certain football game that turned out miraculously wonderful. So you probably celebrated Halloween Friday, if you did any sort of trick-or-treating or roaming about that way. So that was yesterday. Today, we celebrate what's called All Saints Day. All Saints Day. The first question I'm going to ask is, what's a saint? And then I'm going to answer that. Besides being a football team in New Orleans, that team is named after the saints, and the saints are all people who believe in Jesus. Here, there, and everywhere. And not just current day, but ever. All Saints Day includes those who have been born, those who have died before us, and, in a sense, those who are yet to come. God knows everything. God knows who will be saved. God knows who believes. So when we say All Saints, we mean all saints, all believers. And so one way I wanted to talk about this, I should have brought in a family album of my own. But I know we're in 2020. I don't know if kids today, do you have photo albums or do you have a folder on a computer that shows a bunch of pictures? Whatever the case may be, photo album, a group of pictures that shows your family. And you can see people who have gone on and died before. You can see loved ones from the past. You can see current people, it's a way to say, we are connected. This is my family. And it includes people in our house, outside the house, across the country, even across the world. I did bring in this. Might not strike you as a family photo album, but it is, as outdated as it is. I think this is from 2015. You probably can't see it, but you might recognize your faces in this. This is Trinity Lutheran Church's family album. It is dated. But this has pictures. Pictures of people who are sitting in the pews today. Pictures of people who are watching on Zoom right now. Pictures of people who have passed away and are with the Lord. But we often, although we often think of this as our church directory or album, it's a family album. Because in Christ, we are family. We are brothers and sisters. And so this is a great way to stay connected and to remember who we are and who we're with. Now, this is my Bible. If I've never told you how to get a free Bible from Concordia Publishing House, order one where they put the binding on upside down, and they just let you keep the thing. And then get your wife to duct tape stickers on here that says Holy Bible. And then when you have babies of your own, you can put a little Jesus Loves Me sticker on it. But anyways, that's why my Bible looks upside down. We don't often think about this as a family album. But hear me out, kids. We open up the pages and you know what you find? Story after story after story of saints. Of people who believe in Jesus. From a long, long, long time ago, and from today. And it connects us, and it makes us one family, one group, believers, here, there, everywhere. We're all connected, and right at the center of this family album that talks about all the saints is the most important member of our family, and that's Jesus. He is the one who brings us all together. We're all together around Him. Around His life, His death, His resurrection, His forgiveness of our sins so that we know one day we will be with Him and with all the saints. Then and forever and ever. Amen. That's what we're celebrating today, really, is celebrating our family in Jesus. So that's enough for that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for creating a beautiful family of all those who believe in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it is a perfect family. We pray that every day we would remember that we belong to you and to your family, and that you treat us as your precious son or daughter. And help us then, Lord, to invite other people into this family and to tell other people the wonderful things about you and what you've done. And we ask this then in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, our great comforter. Amen. It is All Saints Day, and we're going to recognize that in our sermon. We're also going to do something special for our time of prayers today that I'll introduce here in just a little bit. We are also wrapping up a 5-week series that we started, and it is called On the Rock. And the whole point of this series, all the topics that we've covered, has been putting the Word of God into practice, based on Matthew 7:24. Putting the Word of God into practice. This is the key. This is what makes the church family different from any other family. This is what makes believing in Jesus matter and mean something. This is what takes words on a page and puts it to flesh on bones and spirit driving it all. Putting it into practice. We've talked about 4 very important elements of a relationship with God. We've talked about His Word and how is it a living and breathing, active Word that compels us to move forward. We've talked about the forgiveness of sins, which is the most important thing that the Word of God contains, so that we can look forward to everlasting life, even now, let alone on that day when Jesus comes again. We talked about Jesus and His church, who Jesus is, and who the church is, and the relationship between the two. And we talked about that all-important daily element of prayer, and actually doing it, and trusting the one to whom we pray daily. So we talked about all of these things, and today we're talking about the mission of God. God's mission, God's purpose, God's desires, and really all 4 of the previous weeks describe parts of that mission of God. All of those key components, all of the key components of a biblical life point toward that mission of God. Let me start to describe what I mean when I say the mission of God. We get to it right away when we open up the Word of God if we go to Genesis. A couple of words that are prominently displayed, but they can be missed because we say them so often and you don't really read into them. We're kind of looking at another part. But very early on in the Bible, when there was God, He says 2 key words. Let us. And then He says create. God Himself is a community. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us. So He identifies that there's more than one personhood to His Godness. And then He says, let us create. Let us be on a mission. Let us do something. Let us expand beyond ourselves. Let us share in this joy that is within us that we simply cannot contain and shall not contain. Let us create. And then God said, and there was. God said, and there is. God is a God who is and was and always will be on that mission. Let us create. And then he says to his creation, create, multiply. And he says to his creation, go, spread out. To us through Jesus, he says, go and make disciples. Make disciples. Make followers of Jesus, with the assumption being that you yourself are a follower. That mission of God is all about go. And we talked about that over the last 4 weeks. When we look at our life in Christ, we're praying not only for ourselves, but praying that God would provide workers in the harvest, that God would help others. And we go beyond our walls, beyond our body, to everywhere else. Forgiveness of sins. That's a gift that we have got to share with others. It is the gift that is going to keep that unity and peace moving forward. We talked about how God's word compels us to go out. God is a sending God. He sends. Jesus himself says, I am the gate through whom the sheep, both come and go. It all happens through Christ. He invites us in and he sends us out to go. I heard this phrase for the first time about 5 years ago or so. And then it was reintroduced to me just a couple of weeks ago. And I remembered what a great way to remember this idea of ascending God is. This is how it goes. The church doesn't have a mission. Now just think about that for a second, because that goes against everything most pastors have said ever. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. If we think about that for a second, it's not that the church has a mission. Because the danger of that is it starts to become all about the church. And if it's all about the church, it's all about the people. And if it's all and only about the people, it's not about Jesus. So of course the church has a purpose. Of course the church has a goal. But the church is a beautiful and lovely, revered pawn in God's mission. God is a God who sends. God is a God who can't help but create and send forth and gather and create and multiply again and again and again. And through the means of his creation, the church, he carries out his mission to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The mission, God, the sending God, has a church. And it includes all the saints. The mission of God is to love and save, and our role in that is to live and bear witness to the one who sends. Like John the Baptist, I am not the light, but I know who the light is. And we decrease, and he increases. And it is for all the saints, for all the church, for all believers, from every time, every place, every background, every ethnicity, all saints. We talk about this in our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 24. What is the mission of God? and the church and the mission then that he entrusts to the church. Jesus had just died, had just risen from the dead, and is appearing to the disciples and said, "This is what is written. The Messiah, the Christ, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name. You are witnesses of these things. You, the church, all the saints." When we think about the legacy of the saints, those who have gone on before, those who have died in the Lord and now are alive with Christ in an intimate way, as the Bible describes, how many of you look back on those saints that have gone before and try to draw something from them? Their perseverance, their humility, their courage, their mistakes, the way they carry themselves. But the true legacy of a saint is this, what Jesus described. That his name be proclaimed. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the legacy of the saints that we get to carry on now until Jesus comes again. Above all things. And as Jeremiah points out in the Old Testament lesson that we read, this is our part in God's mission. We are the tools, some of the tools, through which God carries out his mission, even if it feels like you're in exile. And that's what was going on in Jeremiah 29. I made absolutely sure we were going to expound on our knowledge of Jeremiah 29 this morning. And here it comes. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Right? I bet you don't even have to look at the page. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you." Do you know that one? Yeah. And it gets even better when we read the verses before. Because what he's talking about is God is sharing that assurance with the saints, believers in him, who have been taken out of their homes and put in a foreign land for 70 years. But he comes to them and says to them, in exile, away from their home, out of their comfort zone, in a foreign land, and says, "I am with you. And here is how I want you to carry out my mission even now. Live there. Be there. Make your families there. Plant your roots and spread your wings there. Be a blessing to this foreign land. Unfamiliar land. In other words, be my people right there, right where you are." How often do we feel like we're in exile today? Anybody feel like this isn't the country we used to know? Anybody feel like things have been better? Anybody feel like we can't wait for this divisiveness to be over? No matter which side of the fence you're on that one, wouldn't it be nice to enjoy some rest? In a sense, we are in exile. We are baptized into Christ. Baptized into peace, joy, love, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. This is a foreign land. And yet, God says, "You are exactly where I have placed you." To put it a little bit more spiritual, how often do we feel like we wish we could just make a change in our life, in our behavior, and in our actions? How many of us have moments where we're stuck in a sin, whatever that sin may be? Whether we're subconsciously despising the Word of God, we're not doing a devotion, we're not devoting ourselves to His teaching, we're not devoting ourselves to the fellowship of the believers, to sometimes blatant actions that go against loving God and our neighbor. We are in exile in those moments. away from God, away from His mission. Sometimes that exile is God has placed you in an uncomfortable, unfamiliar situation, and sometimes it's self-inflicted. And yet, what does God say to the people in exile in Babylon in Jeremiah's book? I'm with you. Be my people right there. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. And so, saints gathered in this room at this time in Auburn, Alabama, War Eagle, God knows the plans He has for you. There will come a day where you know your Lord Jesus in His resurrected glory. There will come a day where you and all the saints gathered together bear witness to His love and His faithfulness and His forgiveness of sin, His restoration. There will come a day with all angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify His glorious name. And guess what? That day is today. We have nothing to wait for. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is for you. He is with you. He is prospering you today. And we get to put God's mission into practice just as He has inserted us into His mission. Today is the day to say, I will turn to Him. Today is the day to say, I will not despise His word. Today is the day to say, I will look to Him as my help and strength and hope. Today is the day to say, I will let go of what I don't need to hold. And today is the day that I will bear witness to the peace. I will bear witness to the hope and the truth of God's word, of forgiveness, of prayer, of Jesus, and of the mission He's called the church to. We are, after all, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12 would have us believe. God knows the plan, and God has revealed it, that the Christ will suffer, but on the third day be raised again from the dead, that all who look to Him will never die, but have eternal life in Christ. God's mission has a church, and you are a part of it. Past, present, and for all eternity. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's family. Joining together with God on His mission. And what does that look like for you? How can you bear witness to hope in Christ in your exile today? How can you be a light that shines in the midst of darkness? How can you point to Jesus even in the midst of the challenges that we face? The answer to that question is by being in His Word, by devoting ourselves to Him and to His teaching and putting into practice the forgiveness of sins, prayer, and life in Christ. And I wanted to start planting this seed as we wrap up this morning. In the month of December, we are going to start together as a church family. We're going to read through the Gospel according to St. Luke. There's 24 chapters in Luke, and there's 24 days in December before Christmas. And so the purpose is, each day of the month, we will read the chapter of Luke that corresponds with that date. So December 1st, Luke 1. December 10th, Luke 10. And we as a church family will read through that. And each Wednesday when we gather for Advent, that chapter date will be the topic. Each Sunday when we gather in Bible study, that date will be the topic. And we will collectively together read through that gospel, encourage one another, pray with each other through that process, And when we gather on Christmas Eve, that evening, we will have just read these words again, that the Christ has suffered, he has died on the cross for you and risen from the dead, and we will celebrate that. And the next day, Christmas Day, we celebrate his arrival. And we join in that together. I believe that just to be one small way the Church of God together, all the saints for Trinity Lutheran Church in Auburn, can come together around the Word and be doing the same thing at the same time with the purpose of inviting God to open us up to be active and involved in his mission. And while we do that, I want us to look for what great things is God doing in us as we devote ourselves to his word. What things is he breaking us? What things are he breaking? I don't know how to talk, but there's things he's breaking us from and we want him to do it. What great things is God going to do as the church gathers in the Word? And then, of course, this is for all the saints. Who can you simply invite? Hey, my church is doing this thing. You don't even have to come to the building because that's too intimidating. Maybe, maybe not. But just to say to someone, we're going to take a day out of December each day and read a chapter of Luke. I wonder if you want to do that with me. That's an easy, harmless invitation, and yet a profound way to impact somebody's life in the grand scheme of things. So I want to put that to you, that we, the church, would put this little bit of God's word into practice and watch the great things that he will do. Amen.